Good morning. And happy Mother's Day to all of you. Please check all the announcements at the back of the bulletins. There are a number of things that are going on. Just a couple of things to add. One is for communion today, we're going to be doing something a little different. We will be doing communion by intinction, which means that you take the wafer and then you will take it and dip it in the wine or the grape juice. We'll have two cups. The first one will be the wine cup, and the other one will be grape juice in that one. So as we do communion, we'll be doing it that way today. Also, I would like to meet very briefly with the Sunday school teachers today after Sunday school. If we can just meet very briefly down in the basement when Sunday school is over. I'll be down there, and I'll meet with you. Okay, and I think we have some other announcements. Lori, would you like to say?
Good morning. I just wanted to give everyone a brief update on the Gabriel Project. If you're not familiar with the group, it's a nationwide outreach for women facing crisis pregnancies. There's a local regional group out of Victoria called the Crossroads Gabriel Project, and they have groups in 8 counties, including our group in DeWitt County. We offer women help with hygiene items, baby items. We provide emotional and spiritual support and help direct these moms-to-be to resources in our area. We've also opened a maternity home in Victoria to help those who don't have adequate housing. This morning, we're handing out these cards. If you didn't get one before church, there's some at each entrance if you want to pick one up on your way out. It's a great reminder to pray for the unborn in our community. It also has a hotline number on the front. This number is answered 24 hours a day. So if you know someone in need or someone who could use help, you can give them that number and they can call at any time. On the back, there's information about our next local meeting. It's tomorrow evening at 5 at Holy Cross Catholic Church in the Activity Center. And there's also my phone number is on the back. So if you have any questions about our group, feel free to call that number and I can give you more information. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Lori. All right, Nate.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I would like to say that on Tuesday, May 24th, 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall, I would love for you to come and attend a family and youth meeting. And at this meeting, we'll be discussing what we want the future of our youth programs to look like. Food will be provided, and I hope to see you there.
All right. Thank you. Are there other announcements? Anybody else with announcements? If not, then I invite you to rise as we begin with our opening hymn. Alleluia, Jesus is risen.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
The Lord be with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
In the Word was life.
And the Word was life.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord, grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. God of all power, you called from death our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Send us as shepherds to rescue the lost, to heal the injured, and to feed one another with knowledge and understanding. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, Great is the Lord, and we sing it twice. You may be seated.
She became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling all the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. We will read Psalm 23 responsively. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The second lesson is a reading from Revelation chapter 7. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne, and around the elders, and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Lord, whom shall we go?
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple, in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Morning, kids. We're going to take a step back right around this area. Can we make a semicircle? How many of you are good at catching stuff? Perfect. In the gospel story that Pastor Tim read, Jesus calls us sheep. Jesus is known as the great shepherd. The story that Pastor Tim read takes place way before the crucifixion. And the reason why this is important is because we are still in the Easter season. So, way before the crucifixion ever happened, way before the Passover, way before Good Friday, Maundy Thursday, the Passover, and all that, the disciples were hanging around with Jesus, and they looked at him in reverence and awe and said, this is it. This is the guy. He is here to redeem us. He is here to save us. If we stick with him, he will rebuild the kingdom of Jerusalem and we'll be the top dogs again. We will be the rulers of the world. Our people and our culture will lead the way. And then Jesus died. He died. They saw him be tortured. Peter betrayed him. Judas betrayed him. Everybody scattered. That was not supposed to happen. What was supposed to happen was they were supposed to live forever. Jesus was supposed to conquer the Roman Empire. He was supposed to put them back on top. Didn't happen. And so now all the disciples are lost and confused, and they're scared. And just like these little sheep, Jesus said, you're in my hand, you're my sheep, and you will always be in my hands. Well, now Jesus has passed away, and they're scattered. They're scattered in the wind. However, just like you are right now picking them up, they may have been scattered. But little did they know, had they listened to Jesus, had they have been taught to have more faith, then they would have been picked up. So I just threw all those disciples, all those sheep in the air, and what did y'all do? You caught them and you picked them up, and now can you please return them to my hand? And so this is what Jesus means. His sheep are always in his hand, no matter how much they fall, no matter if they fall again. Thank you. Once you are a Christian, once you have been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which you have, you will always be part of Jesus' family. You will always be part of his hand. I'm going to throw these sheep up one more time. I know life can be confusing and hard sometimes, and it looks like, God, Jesus, you're not there. I'm just in the wind. But Jesus and the Holy Spirit and your community will always bring you back to him. And now can you put him back in my hand? So you will never, ever be lost. Okay. So we're going to do something that we did last week, or we started 2 weeks ago. Can you put your prayer hands together? So we're going to pray. I'm going to pray. And then when the prayer is done, I'm going to say amen, and then the children's sermon will be done. Okay, short prayer. Does anybody need anything to be prayed about? Any test? You're not in junior high. No, you're in fifth grade, right? Oh, fourth. Did they give you like a final exam or anything like that? Okay, so we'll just pray for a good end of the school year? Yeah? Okay, all right. Dear Jesus, thank you for your son. Dear God, thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the whole gift of the Holy Spirit. Please be with these children as they go about their school week. Please be with these children as they end their school year. And may we have a fun summer together. And during the summer, may they get to know you and grow in you better. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was in seminary, the schedule for the year was usually you had the fall semester and you had the spring semester, and there may have been some summer classes that were optional, but during the month of January they would have what they called interim. And during interim, you would take only one class. They offered several different classes, but each student would take only one class. One year during the interim class, the class that I took was an urban ministry class. It was doing ministry in the inner city. And rather than being on campus there in Dubuque, Iowa, we instead had class in Detroit, in inner city Detroit. And that was in the early to mid 80s. What we did there is we did have some classroom work, but most of the time we were out and about. We went to some soup kitchens and actually helped serve food or prepare food. On the weekends, we were in some of the inner city churches, and many of those were mixed. Some of them were pretty well fully African-American churches, Lutheran churches. And we learned about the plight that the people were in the inner city. We learned about the white flight that happened out of Detroit. But one of the things that we did while we were there is one evening is each of the students got to ride along with patrol officers, police officers, patrolling the streets overnight. And it was, again, this was January. It was in Detroit. The weather was not hot and balmy. As a matter of fact, it was very cold. I don't think if it was above zero, it was not much above zero. There was snow everywhere. It was not actively snowing that night, but there was snow everywhere, and it was cold. And it was when we first started, so it was fairly early in the evening. It was maybe 5:30, and that far north, by 5 o'clock, everything is pitch black. There is no twilight, there is nothing else. It is nighttime at 5 or 5:30 in the evening. And while we were out on patrol, there was a young boy, maybe 10, 12 years old, who flagged down the police officers patrolling around in the car. And they started talking to him. Come to find out, he had been after school, he had gone to a community center, and he had played some basketball with his friends. And he was on his way home. And when he played basketball, he had a special pair of shoes that he would play basketball with. And he wouldn't wear those in that snow or through the slush or different things because he didn't want to ruin those special basketball shoes. And so he was walking home carrying his basketball shoes, and some older kids came along and snatched them out of his hand. Just took them and ran away. And that greatly upset that little boy because he had worked hard to earn those. His mom had also worked hard to be able to scrape enough money up together to pay for those shoes. And now they're gone. Just like that, they were gone. And he was very much upset. So the police officers put him in the back seat of the patrol car with me, and we drove around to where this happened, looking in the neighborhood, see if we could see anything. And whoever took them was gone. And so the little boy lost his shoes. And so we just took him home to his house. That idea of being snatched, it's a sense of being violated. Something happening to us that we do not deserve. Something stolen from us. Something taken away from us. It feels as if we have been attacked. If something has been snatched from us, it comes unexpectedly. It's kind of sneaky. It's quick. You think about animals being snatched, a predator taking livestock, snatches it out of the herd or the flock. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus actually uses that word snatch twice. He uses it twice in our gospel lesson. But that's not the only time that snatch comes up in this gospel lesson. It starts out that this is the time of the dedication, a festival of dedication. It is winter time in Jerusalem. And I imagine in Jerusalem, the weather is fairly similar to what it would be like here in the wintertime. I would think that it does get cold there. It could be a damp wind coming off the Mediterranean Sea. It could be the drizzly wet that we get, say, in January or February type weather. It's just kind of pleasant weather. And Jesus and his disciples were under the porch there in the temple courtyard. But there was a different sense of winter as well. Jesus was probably there talking to people. People were gathering around. Again, it's a festival time, one of the festivals that the Jewish people celebrate. And so there were probably pilgrims coming into town. So there were people around. Jesus was probably ministering to them, talking to them, maybe teaching, maybe healing or blessing some people. And up comes the religious leaders. They approach Jesus, and they think they have him once again. Once again, we see one of these traps. This time, it's not a question, but it's a demand. If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And this was a perfect question or a perfect demand to make of Jesus. And it would seem that he would be trapped. Jesus could not lie. He could not say, no, I am not the Messiah. If he would say no, then all those people who were around would hear it, and Jesus would be discredited. People would go away. They would quit following him. Or if Jesus says, yes, I truly am the Messiah, then they could have him arrested with the temple police and put him on trial in front of the Jewish leaders. And then they could haul him off to the Roman courts, possibly to have him executed. And their problem of Jesus would be solved. And so they thought that they had him. And it was a very simple demand, a very simple question. Tell us plainly. Tell us plainly. Jesus, there was very little wiggle room for Jesus. He couldn't hem-haw around. They were asking, tell us plainly. But Jesus does not answer in the way that they expect. Not because he was afraid of the religious leaders, not because he felt trapped, not because he wanted to keep it a secret, but he told them the answer in a different way because they had a distorted view of who the Messiah should be. They thought the Messiah would be somebody like King David, who would come riding in on the white horse and who would liberate Israel from Roman control, who would lead the people, call the people back together, because by this time the Jewish nation had been scattered throughout the world, that the Jewish people, the Israel, would become a mighty player in this world, would become the glorious country once again that it had played, that role that it had played in the past under King David and under King Solomon. But that's not who Jesus was. And so he didn't answer in the way that they expected. For us too, sometimes I think we don't have a clear view of who this Jesus is, who God truly is. If we think of God as being a mighty Santa Claus, that if we're nice, he will give us anything that we ask for, anything that we want. Or we think of God as if we pray hard enough, we can manipulate that will of God so that we can snatch whatever we want out of this world. Or that if we're good and faithful enough, that we will have long life on this earth. And all of our troubles, if we become Christians, all of our troubles in this world will go away. But that's not who Jesus is. That is not the God that Jesus is. God, or Jesus, is that Son of God who came into this world to give his life for us, who laid down his life for us, and then rose again, bringing us eternal life. This is a God who gives us that opportunity that even though we may suffer in this life, He gives us hope. He always gives us that hope that that's not the end of us, that that's not the final word. We too will be raised to new life. And so we continue to go on living, to go on moving, to go on bearing this good news, to call other people into this kingdom of God. The way that Jesus answered the question is He said, I've already told you. If you just open your eyes, look and see what He has done, what He had done. Open your eyes to see what Jesus has done. All these things that He's done in His Father's name shows who He is, of how He ministered to the poor, how He healed the sick, how He raised the dead, how He had proclaimed the kingdom of God. This is who Jesus is. That's the Messiah that God sent into this world. And not only to save the Israelite nation, but also to save us, to save everyone. That's what God's hope is. For those who listen to Jesus, for those who believe, for those who follow Him, He gives a promise here. No one can snatch them out of my hand. No one's going to steal them. No one's going to grab him. No matter what happens, we are in Jesus' hands. Nothing can tear us away. Not fighting, not death, not pain, not torture, not disease, not even the glitter and the glamour of the world. He will pull us back together, draw us back together into His flock, into His kingdom. Jesus is the good shepherd, and we do not need to fear. As our psalm read, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. God is with us, and He holds us together in His flock, and no one can snatch them out of His hand. We continue to follow Christ. We continue to follow our risen Savior, believing that He is the true Messiah. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is.
Thank you.
In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him, and our hearts are sealed with the promise of the Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten and not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from the heavens. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became a man of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified and Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray to our risen Savior on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Lord Jesus, bless and direct this congregation. Call us by name and lead us in love. Guide us in paths of discipleship and service. Let all be done to your glory and for the good of our family, community, and the world. Lord, in your mercy. Bless our littlest lambs, our infants and toddlers, and all newborns in faith. Lead them safely through the dangers of this world. Crown their innocence with holiness. Teach them to know your voice and to gladly follow wherever you would have them go. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you for mothers, foster mothers, and for all who care and love with a mother's heart. Adorn their lives with wisdom, goodness, common sense, and patience. Give them endurance and a good night's sleep to carry out their many tasks with a light heart and ready smile. Be their strength and shield when their burdens are great and sorrowful, and bestow your dearest comfort to all who have lost a child or who are unable to have one. Lord, in your mercy. Give a shepherd's heart to the leaders of all nations, especially our own. Teach them to seek the welfare of their people above power, wealth, or re-election. By their labors, grant the simple blessings of decent food, clean water, and the chance to raise families in freedom and safety. Give wisdom and integrity to all who risk their lives on behalf of others. And to all people, especially those whose lives have been shattered by violence, grant a measure of your peace. Lord, in your mercy. O great and good shepherd, carry on your shoulders all who are suffering in body, mind, and heart, and restore them to wholeness and hope. Give a double portion of your spirit to all who care for them, especially remember before you Max Anderson, Peggy Van Pelt, and Lynn Magura. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, enfold us in the great multitude of saints from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. Wash us in your saving grace every day, guiding us to your calm waters of life. Lord, in your mercy. Grant to us all that is in accordance with your will, dear Lord, and accomplish your salvation among us. For you are risen from the dead and dwell in majesty with your Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Merciful God, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not Come, for all is ready.
Thank you.
Amen. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, and we sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.